Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Danny's out, Toby's in, I'm Grant. Thank you for listening to The Fan. You guys may remember Terry Orr, the two-time Super Bowl champion who played almost exclusively in Washington with the Redskins. He was a tight end who played 105 career games. He caught 52 passes. We're about to play a game in his honor, his namesake. The game is called Terry Orr. Not because of the 63-year-old tight end, but I'm going to go through wide receivers. We are going to determine, would you rather have same money, one-year deal, both playing for league minimum, let's say, for the hypothetical, Terry Orr, the player to be named later. We're going to find out where we rank him among NFL wide receivers once and for all. And just so we're all on the same page, if you're watching on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream, Toby's hat will get turned backwards, and he's going to turn into Toki and start spitting fire here eventually because he gets very upset when we talk about his sweet prince in any way other than as the best receiver in the league. Are you ready? Are you calm?
We'll see.
I'm not going to troll you. I'm just going to go through
names. Well, the entire break was trolling.
Yes, that was fun. We were just saying, like, Jalen Hyatt might be. But we're just trying to get a rise out of you. This is real life, live football conversing between pals. Terry Orr, A.J. Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles.
A.J. Brown.
I will also go with A.J. Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. So we both have Terry as the number two receiver in the NFL right now.
Yes.
You're happy. You got to like that. Terry Orr, Justin Jefferson, Jenna's across the middle from J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings lead 7-0.
Give me Jettis.
I better give you Jettis. Justin Jefferson, best wide receiver on planet Earth. I will also take Jets. So Terry's now the number three receiver in the NFL. Terry Orr, the former tight end, you see?
Yeah.
Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. That is three that we have taken over Terry, who's now slid down to number four on our big board, respectively. All right, we're continuing through the NFL wide receivers. We're playing Terry Orr. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Terry Orr St. Brown.
Terry.
Oh, and just like that, Toby's loyalty shows. The answer would be Amon-Ra St. Brown for this football season. So I'm up to four now that I would have over Terry. You got to keep your own number. It's going to get too complicated for me. Puka Nacua. Terry or Puka Nacua.
Scarence Terrence.
Now, they're very different. Like, Puka Nacua outside as a wide receiver one, I don't love as much as the role he plays, but he's a wide receiver one. He just does it from inside. I would go with Puka Nacua this football season over Terry McLaurin. I don't think that's crazy. I mean, this is a guy who had the league's highest receiving grade from PFF 93 last year. His two-year total of nearly 3,000 receiving yards hasn't really been done. And Terry McLaurin, I mean, he has never gone to 1,300, right? This is a guy that's averaging basically 1,500 two straight years. So there's no real statistical case for you to make, but I will accept it. Would you like to try to convince me that Terry McLaurin's better than Puka Nacua?
I've already done this plenty of times, so no. Terry.
Okay. But people haven't heard it.
He's consistent year in, year out. You know what he's going to get?
Puka Nacua is not? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Puka's a good receiver. It's like in that same area with Terry.
Okay.
But I'll take Terry.
All right, very good. Terry or C.D. Lamb within the division with the Dallas Cowboys?
C.D. Lamb.
I will also take C.D. Lamb. A little surprised you did that, by the way. Terry Orr. This is a guy that Toby sleeps on.
I like this guy.
Oh, who am I? I'm Toby Altizer. I had no idea how good this guy was. Nico Collins of the Houston Texans. Big, physical.
Mm-hmm.
Terry or Nico Collins?
Terry McLaurin.
Oh, boy. That is precious. What an adorable thing you just said. Nico Collins, obviously, for me, the gigantic route-running dude who carves people up and is uncoverable. Terry or Tyreek Hill?
On the field or off the field?
This is strictly on the field. Tyreek Hill could never play for my team. I'll tell you that right now. That is a no for me, dog. That is a no. I saw the junkies were doing something about like trading for Tyreek Hill, which, by the way, is not real and is a ridiculous thing. But regardless of that, I just would never want him. But just who's the better receiver for this football season? I'm going Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
All right. That brings us to... This is actually the really tough threshold, I think, into Terryville.
I've walked myself into a difficult corner here. I've noticed I usually say he's in a certain range and he's going to be much higher in my range here, but whatever. I've made my bet. I have to sleep
have
in
him
it.
The fifth number five receiver in the NFL.
Right now, he's number six for me.
Okay. I'm going through the list I'm giving you, by the way, is just PFF's ranking of their top receivers in the league. That's just how I'm saying them, but we've still got some really good ones to go here. We're at number nine in the NFL, according to PFF, in Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Terry Orr, the ageless wonder. You want to talk about Terry not getting a contract because he's about to be 30. Mike Evans, who is 31. By the way, somehow, I don't know how he's that young. I thought he was like 46.
Yeah, feels like it.
Mike Evans is going to turn 32 this football season. He has gone for 1,000 yards every single year he has been in the league. Now, you go back to last year, they're like throwing him a pass with 8 seconds left to get him over 1,000. So I don't know what that really means. But, I mean, this is a guy in his career that does have 1,500, 1,300-yard seasons on the ledger. He's got 95, 85 catch seasons on the ledger. His touchdown years in his prime, he's had 4 years, 5 years, what Terry did last year. That was the first time McLaurin had done it, where it's 12 or more touchdowns. He's just a vulture in the red zone. So Terry Orr, Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer for Terry this football season.
Terry McLaurin.
I'm going to go Mike Evans over Terry McLaurin. By the way, I just want to remind everyone I love Terry McLaurin. I think he's awesome. Okay? That needs to be said. Now, I'm not making it as clear that I love him as Toby is, but I don't think Mrs. McLaurin is either, necessarily. Okay. The game is called Terry Orr, named after former Redskins tight end Terry Orr. They've got Terry McLaurin listed number 10 for PFF, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to number 11, Drake London. Terry Orr, Drake London of the Atlanta Falcons.
Terry.
I'm going to go with Drake London of the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm.
Big, physical.
We're getting close to the hat getting turned around, GP.
Toki's about to make an appearance. All right, this one is just very easy for me. One of my favorite receivers in the league. I think this is way too low of a ranking, by the way. They have Malik Nabers of the Giants, 12th. Terry or Malik Nabers of the Giants?
I'm going to stick with what I've said for a million years on this.
And a million years. Malik Neighbors has been around for 6 seconds.
I know, but it's going to get, you're going to, I already know the argument's going to happen, but Terry. But I already know the argument's going to happen with a later guy, because I've figured out who I have ahead. But
okay, continue. That's fine. Malik Neighbors is just a freak. He's uncoverable. I think he's going to catch 115 balls this year. Give me Malik Neighbors. Terry or Garrett Wilson of the New York Football Jets. Younger Ohio State product. 11th best war among wide receivers last season. Reached the 1,000-yard mark for the third straight year to start his career in a terrible organization. Terry or Garrett Wilson?
Terry.
I'm going to go Garrett Wilson of the New York Jets on this one. Terry or T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals? Since entering the league in 2020, has 71 contested catches, ranking the top five. Now, Terry's got the most over that time.
Terry.
This one's really hard because I really want to take T over him, but this is where I'm going to allow my Terry love to show up a little bit. The tiebreaker is going to be he's my sweet prince. Terry McLaurin, I will take over T. Higgins, but it is close. And by the way, if I didn't live in D.C. and I didn't watch every game the last several years, it would be T. Higgins because he's just a badass. Cross the middle, tough to defend.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the guy that Toby doesn't even know exists. Toby hibernates so much on this guy that he just sleeps for 3 months at a time like a teddy bear. Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
This is where I said you're going to argue with me. BTJ.
Oh, you're going BTJ?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. We had a big fight over this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr. is that guy.
No, we were arguing about Neighbors.
Well, him too.
I'd take BTJ over Neighbors, which I think you probably would not.
You're asking me to pick between my children. I love both of these guys. I mean, Neighbors, I just went so hard on before the draft being better than Marvin Harrison that I want to stick with him as the next star. I did not think Brian Thomas Jr. was this good, but last year he was the best young receiver. Like, he had a better year than Neighbors. I'll take him over Terry as well. So, by the way, right now, I have 13 guys over Terry. How many do you have?
Six.
Okay, so you got McLaurin, the number seven guy in the league. I got him 14th. Devontae Adams or Terry this year? This might be
my toughest one. I'm still going off of what I saw for so many years. Give me Devontae Adams.
I'll also take Devontae Adams. Now, I think this is probably the last year I would do that.
Correct.
If he doesn't get right.
His release, he's so good.
Terry or Devontae Smith, Philadelphia Eagles?
Terry.
I'll go Terry as well. Terry or Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Bucks?
Terry.
Now, listen closely, everybody. I would take Godwin, I think, by a nose if he was healthy and I knew what was going on with the shoulder. He just gets hurt all the time. ACL, shoulder, this, that. He was the best receiver in the league statistically when he got hurt several weeks in last year. So I will put Terry above him for that reason. Brandon Ayuk or Terry?
Terry.
I agree. DJ Moore or Terry?
Terry.
I agree. Jalen Waddle or Terry?
Terry.
All right, so we'll leave it kind of here. We got Ladd McConkey, DK Metcalf, Chris Olave. By the way, Olave is sneaky right there, too, if he doesn't have any more concussion issues. I think there's a possibility Ladd McConkey, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore, some of those guys could move ahead of him. But right now, this moment, based on the numbers, I've got Terry, the number 15 wide receiver in the NFL. You've got him?
8. Which is kind of where I've always said.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you've said first in your heart, but 8th in your head. You didn't even become Toki, by the way. We got through the segment that you didn't even have to spin your hat around.
It was getting close with some of the guys that you were taking over.
Which guy that I took bothered you the most?
Probably Drake London.
Drake London got under your skin?
Yeah, Drake London.
He's a good player.
Really good player.
Yeah.
Not Terry.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is The Fan. Camp coverage is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Let's talk training camp. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. An important practice today in New England, outside of Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, where John Keim of ESPN, who covers the Commanders and many of the team's beat, were on the scene. John, this has become significant, an important benchmark for clubs to go have these practices, and specifically now with three preseason games. A lot of veterans aren't going to play on Friday night, so it felt like this was where they were going to get their really good work. What did you take out of, and what did you think of today's workout?
And you're right. Like, this is where it's going for a lot of teams, where this, you know, they're not going to play a lot in the preseason. I'd be shocked if we see Jaden Daniels for more than two series the entire preseason. So this is the key. And so, listen, there are a couple things that jump out. One, obviously, without Terry McLaurin and even Noah Brown, you don't have a lot of guys that are winning on the outside, and that impacts over the middle. Zach Ertz looks really good. That's been the connection, but you're not seeing a lot of the downfield success without them. But we've seen that, right? We know that. Like, that's not a big surprise, because it's what's evident in camp, and it's what is logical when you are missing some really good receivers, especially Terry McLaurin. The offensive line, I'd say, kind of up and down. They had Andrew Wiley back up at left guard. You have Nick Allegretti back up at right guard. You have a rookie right tackle. GP, I kind of think, like, I've always felt like that group would be hit its stride more in November, you know, late October, November into December, when Cosme's back and healthy, when you get Connolly, you know, up to where he needs to be, et cetera. Tunsil looks really good. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And then I say defensively, you don't overreact to anything. And I would stress with that, like, this is one step in a process. There have been a lot of times over the years I've learned a lot more than I think I did today. You know, the D-line I thought was all right. I think there were some times, like, I maybe thought they might do a little bit more. But I still think, like, there are times where you see Von Miller doing things. You see Dorrance Armstrong doing things. Still, like, love rookie corner Trey Amos. I think Lattimore is, like, looks better, but still not where I think he feel like he needs to be. And I think, you know, that's true too. So, I think that kind of about sums it up, GP.
Did any of the rookie offensive guys stand out? Connerly, Kroski Merritt, Jalen Lane?
Yeah, I would say this. So, like, with Lane, and this is a hard thing, so people understand that you're looking at two fields where things are going simultaneously. It's not like they stop and watch the other, one side watch the other. So you have the 1-0 going at the same time that the 1-D is going on the other side. It makes it very difficult to get sometimes a great sense. So you have to kind of go like, this is what I saw of this guy on a few of the plays. So like for Jalen Lane, I wasn't able to see a whole lot, but I didn't watch him every play. And there have been times in the camp I feel like he's pretty good. I think as a punt returner, that's where he's going to really make his mark early. Kroski Merritt, a couple times, he's bounced. He's got some nice jump cuts. Had one nice run around the end. Had a fumbled exchange with Jaden Daniels on a zone read play. Don't know whose fault it was, just a fumbled exchange. And then, but a couple times bottled up, but I don't know if it was at him. Is it the offensive line? That's the hard part without seeing like practice footage. So that's what you're seeing live. And then you want to, you know how it is, Grant, like you're at home, you're going to rewind that play 4, 5, 10 times to see what happened. Here you get one live shot. And so sometimes like, is that did he make the right read? That stuff you don't know. But there are a couple of times where you see what I'm looking for too, a trace, and that you see with him some of the jump cuts and the decisive cuts, right? And then with Connerly, he actually said that he felt like he was thinking less out there today. And maybe that was because he was going, in practice, he's going against seemingly a different pass rusher every other play. I actually felt like overall, I thought he was solid. There were definitely a couple times Harold Landry got him to the inside in a one-on-one and then on a full team. But overall, I thought like, in camp, I feel like you've seen it. It's been a little bit up and down as he adjusts to the right side, adjusts to the NFL, et cetera. But I felt like he was maybe better than what he had shown. But again, he did get beat a couple times inside. And I think there's still going to be some things he has to adapt to. So those are the rookie guys on offense. That's kind of how I saw it.
ESPN's John Keim on Grant and Danny. Danny's out today. Toby's in. You're listening to the Fan. Cakes, the cool thing about those kids, too, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but I'd imagine we're going to see a lot of them Friday night, right? Whether it's Lane or Merritt or Connerly, maybe less so, although I would still think he'd get a good bit of playing time. But to me, like, that is the fun of the preseason now, is figuring those guys out. We're about to get a real nice long look.
Absolutely. You still got me there, Grant?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, sorry about that. It was a little dead spot. Ben Standing and I are driving to the airport, and Ben, by the way, says to subscribe to his Substack. So, anyway. saying, I agree. Like, there are a lot of guys that I'm curious to see that are fighting for backup spots. And, how does Chris Paul fare? Like, Chris Paul looks very, very strong, heavy hands. But how does he move? Like, can he get out in space and block? He shed some weight in the offseason, it looks like. So how does he look on the move? Because to me, that's the separator in this group. Like, if you can play on the move, they're going to like you because they do a lot of pulling, a lot of screen action. So, like, that's another guy to watch. And then guys like, again, Jalen Lane, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, undrafted guys, Carlon Vigors, Ja'Cory Brooks, guys like that who are, who may or, maybe are still not on the projected 53, but guys who, certainly I know in Vigors' case has opened their eyes, right? And so, like, watching those guys, how they progress is something too. And then I also, Grant, like the second-year guys, the Johnny Newtons, the Ben Sinnott, guys like that, like, you want to see a little bit more and see where they are. Luke McCaffrey, what are they showing? So like, those guys need to show something to me in the preseason as well.
I did something last week where I was talking about areas where maybe they're better than we know, or something nobody's talking about where it could be a strength. And I actually mentioned Matt Gay, the kicker. I think it could just be something they don't have to worry about. Is there an area where you go, maybe this isn't something everyone's caught up to that's not out there every day yet, but there's a real good chance that this is not a problem, or this is an area where they're a lot better?
I don't know that anything has jumped out where it's like, okay, this is – I would say I still think the defense is going to be pretty good. And, I think the corner group is very deep. But I don't – Like, the guy who maybe has jumped out a little bit, where you surprised a little bit, is Noah Igbinoghi. Just as a, you know, for a guy who's like a number five corner on this roster, that's pretty good. And so I think that's one. And then again, I mentioned Vigors and, you know, Key and guys like Bobby Price. What do they do on special teams to see? I'd like to say receiver, but you haven't seen anybody really separate to where you say, okay, if this player goes down, watch this guy, right? I think there's like Jalen Lane, I think there's a lot of things that he can do well. In some practices, he looks pretty good, but you still see like, okay, details of route running, et cetera, like things like that, that, you know, that's why I still like I still think the receiver group, when Terry McLaurin is in, when Noah Brown is back and healthy, it's still a solid group because I think it's better than last year. So I'm not going to be as worried about them when those guys are there. And at some point, they will be on the field. So they're not trading Terry McLaurin. You know what I mean? So I think like that's not going to be an issue, I don't think. Now, of course, if something happens to McLaurin during the season, then it's an issue. But that's true with a lot of teams. So, but I think the corner group is one where it's even just a little bit stronger than I thought. And Amos looks really good.
Talking with John Kime from ESPN, Toby Altizer sitting in for Danny Day on Grant and Danny. The big question for me going into the season, John, is the defensive line in that front four. Yeah. Do you think that they're going to be able to stop the run better this year with some of the size they brought in? And also, if it gets to a certain pass situation, do you think that they can get home with four, or it's going to still have to be a little bit of a manufactured pass rush?
So, and that's one. I'm glad you brought up that area, too, because I still think, you know, today, and again, you know, the hard part today with the D-line sometimes is, you'd see a guy win, and would he have sacked, and could he have continued on that path? Like, they're not doing live tackling. So, but I say that because, like, you see things from Von Miller. Like, he looks like he still has something left. Now, the question is, can he do it late in games? Can he do it late in the season? That's when they're going to need him. As far as stopping the run, I believe they will be better there. I don't think it can be worse. and I think they've added enough there where it should be better. It's not just like, you know, the Javon Kinlaw, but Dietrich Wise. And I think having Farrell be healthy all year will help them. He was not healthy for a lot of last year. Daron Payne looks pretty good. So I think that group, I think they'll be fine. I also think that 1 through 9 or 10, they're just better. They're just deeper. It doesn't mean they have like a stud on that group, but just 1 through 10, there's not a huge drop-off. So, like, I think that will help against the run. And as others have pointed out, too, the coaches, sometimes it was the defensive back play that was messing up the run fits as well. So I think they feel better about that group overall as well. So I do think they'll be better against the run. As far as the pass rush, I think they're still going to see a lot of pressure, a lot of blitzes brought. And part of that, too, goes back to having Amos in there, Sam Ristill, and then Marshawn Lattimore, the ability to play man coverage will allow them to and play it better than last year. Like Joe Witt said the other day, he's a press man cover guy. That means you'll see that allows them to do some different pressures. Like you watch, I think Frankie Louvu is obviously better going forward. So I would be surprised if they just try to rush with four a lot. I do think you have the ability to put four guys out there who can win, but you may not have that double-digit sack guy outside of maybe Louvu. But with the D-line, you may have four guys you put out there who are like 6 to 8 sack a year guys, right? So, you know, not great, but capable. But I still think you're going to generate some pressure with Louvu quite a bit.
And to John's point, 4.8 yards a pop allowed last year, and 138 per game, which was 30th of 32 teams. So it's not going to be worse than that, ideally.
No, I would put some money on that.
Yeah. We'll let you out on this one because I know you guys are getting to the airport, but this is just kind of nerdy, my own curiosity, especially with the Commanders building a stadium and obviously the facility is going to be in a different location. But I could see that you guys were outside the Gillette Stadium. Do they, like, get dressed in their game day locker room? Same, were the Commanders, like, in the visiting game day locker room, or is there a whole other facility? How does that work?
Well, the Patriots would get dressed here. The Commanders went back because they had buses there. They had to get on and go. So I think they just went back to wherever they were staying. That's my understanding. So
But I mean, but is there like a whole different facility, or would these teams like the Panthers do this, where they actually are at their stadium with their facility? I wonder if they're in their home locker room like today.
That I don't know. I don't know, Grant. All I know is that Robert Kraft shows up in a helicopter, and you know that's what I know the important stuff.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's interesting to see a team that has an owner with a helicopter that actually won.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm familiar with the owner with a helicopter landing in the middle of practice. Yeah. And I saw you guys had a Bon Jovi sighting. I think it was Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
Bon Jovi,
a Jason Tatum sighting.
Jason Tatum, yeah.
They, star power,
stars
man.
Stars were out. Yeah.
And cakes, all in one.
Chris Baker was there. That's right. And Chris Baker was here, too. Drove up from Connecticut.
No kidding. Just to hang?
Yeah. Just to hang. I think he just liked being back around football and the guys.
I get that.
His health is good, too, for people wondering.
That's good.
Very cool. All right, well, good info. Wanted to hear from someone who was out there because, obviously, there wasn't a ton of, like, video and everything trickulating.
Right.
So, appreciate you.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Kane Medrano, linebacker, safety, tweener, can do a little bit of everything. Is he going to be able to make plays on an NFL defense? That's the big question. He went 205 overall, sixth round pick by Washington out of UCLA, was third team all Big Ten. Yeah, that's right, Big Ten in 2024 in UCLA for Kane Medrano. You've seen him out on the practice field. He's long, man. He's like 6'3 and about 225 pounds. The problem is he's very slender. And I asked him about that in the interview. I don't know how he's going to be able to anchor and not get blown off the ball at that size. Because the problem isn't just that he's not thick, which is an issue, but it's how long he is, I would imagine, makes it difficult with leverage and getting low and makes technique that much more important. But he can run, and he's going to be able to help on special teams for sure. One of the guys I'm really excited to watch play the New England Patriots. This was my conversation with former UCLA Bruin Kane Medrano after practice today.
I actually didn't really talk to him much during that process. Me and Coach Norton had a beautiful, lovely connection before this from being at UCLA. And so it was just, you know, it was kind of, he was telling me, like, you know, just keep your head down, continue to work, and everything will work out how it's going to work out. And that was said at the very beginning of draft process. And I really had nothing else besides talking to some scouts.
So they call your name.
Yep.
You refamiliarize yourself with him. And how quickly was it when you got into the building here that you figured out how they viewed you and what they wanted you to do? Because you're a bit of a tweener who can play a lot of positions.
You know, I kind of knew that, obviously, coming in as a linebacker, that's what they want me to play, right? But then I also know just where I was with Coach Norton playing in UCLA's defense when he was there, I kind of knew how he had me moving around and stuff. So when I got that call, just kind of leading up to getting here, you know, I was just trying to get my mind right. I can play linebacker. I can also cover, right? So I'm just ready to do whatever they call me to do.
What's the key for a guy? You're tall, you're long, you have good size, but you don't look physically like a normal linebacker. Mm-hmm. In terms of anchoring and being able to not get knocked off the ball, for someone who's as fast as you, that's going to be the strength. How do you make sure physically that you hold up in the trenches?
And yeah.
What's the key to that?
Just take, I think, I'm believing in my technique and relying in my technique. You know, we got great coaches out here that teach great technique. And so it's just being able to rely on our technique and, you know, be in the right positions with the right hand placement and the right footwork. Even though, yeah, I might not seem strong, it'll come off different.
And I would imagine that you are strong.
Yeah,
you say you don't seem strong. But, you know, that normally the linebacker's a little bit squattier. The position's changing, though.
Yeah.
We see that all the time, especially in this defense with guys like Tyler Owens and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing multiple spots. Is that a trend in the league? Is that more of a DQ Joe Witt thing? Like, how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. And, you know, I kind of see it happen in the league, too. So it could be a league thing, and it could be a DQ and Coach Witt thing. But, you know, I'm just here to play ball. Wherever they want me to play, I'm going to play. Doesn't really matter where, you know, I just want to be on the field and help the team in any way possible.
What has surprised you about camp so far in terms of the speed of the game? What's going well and where areas where you think you got to keep honing in?
Yeah, I think, you know, just being, as far as areas to hone in, I just, you know, continue to hone in on block destruction and, you know, making sure my tackling technique is right, because we don't tackle. So it's, you know, just making sure that technique is right. And then, you know, it's just been super fun to be able to be out here with all the guys and just, you know, put in this sweat and this hard work to continue to get better as a team. And I think the best thing about it is everybody is one. There's not like, you know, an off group here. We all brotherhood, and we all get together, and so it's a fun group to be around.
Kane Medrano of the Commanders, we're well over a weekend. You guys are about to hit the road, though.
Yeah.
You finally get to leave. You're playing New England.
Mm-hmm.
You get those joint practices. What's your level of anticipation for that, and how much of a different look will that give you, do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll give me a good look, because it's going to be the closest thing that you get to, obviously, a game as far as joint practice and then game one. So, you know, just that joint practice, just, you know, going in there, being aggressive, and just playing my style of football. And then also, you know, just continue to be where my feet are, and just take it one day at a time. And when those days come, then I know I'll be prepared.
Do you view yourself like going into this preseason game, like, I got to make plays on special teams? That's a way that I can really lock in, or are you kind of focusing more on trying to stand out on the defensive side of things to climb the depth chart?
No, I'm trying to, you know, contribute on special teams as much as I can. You know, and I know being a late round pick that's what it's going to have to be. So, you know, just being able to focus on special teams and you know, give my all to the special teams units. And then, you know, when my number's called on defense, make plays on defense.
Lastly, just to let some listeners find out about you a little bit, Kane Medrano out of UCLA. So let's talk non-football. What are the things you care about? What makes you go?
Yeah, my family, and my loved ones for sure.
What kind of hobbies do you have when you're not on the field?
Golf. I like to golf. I'm an outdoors guy, so I like to, you know, golf, hunt, fish, you know, be outdoors. And, you know, I'm blessed to be out here in Virginia where you can get a lot of that done. So
you're not a big, like, TV show binger, movie guy?
With my girlfriend, when we want to watch some shows, we'll binge some shows, we'll binge some movies. But other than that, you know, we both like to camp. We both like to be outdoors and golf and stuff like that. So it's
all right,
fun.
Lastly, food. Your cheat meal. You get the best meal, whatever it is. No one's judging you. What are you eating?
I'm going back home to Colorado and get some Mexican food. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I think we got some of the best Mexican food down in Pueblo that I've ever had. So, yeah, that's my cheat meal.
Kane Medrano of the Commanders after practice today.
Commanders Patriots kicking off in 5 hours tonight, and we're excited
for preseason football. So here's the deal, Linnell. We're going to go through our top three players we're most excited to watch make their debut under the lights in a game. And we'll see what our lists look like. We'll compare them, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-636-1067. So I'll start us off with Jalen Lane.
Yeah,
I have just been enamored with the speedster out of Virginia Tech at practice. It's funny. You know, the first couple of days of practice, I didn't really notice him. And I said, all right, where's Jalen Lane? Let's see what's going on. And then you see he's running with basically the second to third team. Not a whole lot to see, really. But then within a week, you're back at practice, and he's getting some first team reps. By the end of his time in Ashburn, before they went to New England, it was clockwork. He would get out there with the ones, and Jaden Daniels would immediately target him. Both would happen in succession almost simultaneously every single time. He checks in, he gets a target. There was a route where I was watching him against Jonathan Jones, longtime NFL corner, going to help them this year in the secondary. He routed him up on an out route, left him basically falling over as he caught a ball and got up past the line of scrimmage, past the line to gain and out of bounds for a first down. That's not even the impressive stuff. It's the downfield stuff where he just gets open and leaks behind everybody. I know he wasn't a household name coming out of Virginia Tech, but he runs a 4.3, 4.40. He's a fourth-round pick. I am really excited to see what he looks like tonight in this preseason game.
I think if we're going to talk about life without Terry McLaurin early on in the season, he could be a guy that eases the pain and that blow because he's the only other guy in that receiver room, GP, that I think puts fear in the heart of defenses in terms of taking the top off and being that explosive vertical threat, someone that can stress defenses going down the field. And when we're talking about the Deebo Samuels of the world and the Austin Ecklers and those guys that need space to operate underneath, you know, how do you get that? It's a guy like Jalen Lane showing that he can take the top off. My other thing with Lane, GP, that I worry about with young wide receivers, especially in this offense, he's a sleight of frame guy. How competitive is he going to be at the point of attack as a blocker in the run game and in the screen game? Because that'll help him get on the field fast.
Yeah, he's going to have to figure that part out. I don't think that's going to be a strength at his size, obviously. But I would say if you've been out there a bunch, and Linnell hasn't, and I know I've been out at a bunch of practices, and you're just going, you're labeling the dudes who have had the best camps at receiver, it's him and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
You know, in the non-Terry McLaurin world, that's the list. Now, that doesn't mean he's ready for the bright lights, but we'll get an indicator tonight of what that looks like for Jalen Lane. Number one on my list, guys I'm most excited to watch. Give me yours.
The number one guy on my list is Tyler Owens, the undrafted safety that they got last year out of Texas Tech. Played mostly a special teams role last year, got a couple of snaps on the defense. But throughout camp, GP, and you've been out there, he's running with the first team a lot of the time. We've seen a lot of three safety looks with him, Quan Martin, and Will Harris, the acquisition from the New Orleans Saints. I just think for Tyler Owens, there's just so many different ways that they can use him. He has that Jeremy Chinn body type to where, you know, he looks good getting off the bus, as you like to say, GP. I just think last year he showed he's a war daddy on special teams. This year in camp, they've lined him up in the slot at slot corner. We've seen him in the deep half as the post safety, and he just hasn't blinked. There was a play the last time that I was out there that he's one-on-one in the slot against Deebo Samuel, and the coverage is textbook. So if he is able to do that part of the game, I think he'll be fine. What I'm curious to see with him tonight, it's different running down on special teams, Grant, and making a tackle than it is being in the flow of a defense, having to run fit and be in your gap. I want to see how he handles that, the physicality of being a box safety. But other than that, I think he's got super high upside, especially as a blitzer too.
Yeah, he played 74% of snaps as a special teamer last year, played in 12 games, did deal with an injury, didn't get on the field defensively, and I would bet on that changing if he can make this roster this year. Because as you said, at practice, they use him at the safety position a bunch. And there was actually one particular rep where he really stood out to me. Deebo had run this like slot fade kind of that Jaden threw beautifully at LSU constantly. And he had beaten someone. I don't even remember. It might have been Amos or somebody. It was actually really, really tight, good coverage. But he had run this route to perfection. It was a perfect throw by Daniels, perfect catch. Well, they went right back to that like a series later. And it was Tyler Owens. And with his length, he was able to make a play and break it up. And he, the idea that he could flip his hips and run as basically a linebacker tweener type. He's got a, you know, really impressive length to him. But, yeah, he is kind of a player who can play in the box or play deep. And out of Texas and Texas Tech, you know, he's long been intriguing to them, clearly, after they brought him into the organization last year. Now, year two, more is expected of him. All right, I'm going to go to number two on my list.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the offense. I'm going with, I won't even get cute here, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the guy they call Bill. This one's easy. This is a layup. Doesn't need to be described a whole lot, but I don't remember a player who's ever gotten more attention, more fan appeal and love and interest before he played it down as a seventh-round pick than Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Now, this is not a knock. I am one of the guys that's sitting on the bus where we're all going to watch him play. I might be sitting in the front row, all right? I'm excited to watch him. He has stood out to me. He looks as impressive as any running back they've had in camp. But this is my 26th training camp being around this team. And I'm telling you, Linnell, I'm an old person apparently. But I'm telling you, the love that people fall and the passion with which they you know become addicted to certain players that may make the roster, it doesn't happen yet normally. Lake Seastrunk, nobody was claiming he was about to be the next great Redskin before the preseason started. Sutan McCullough, Marcus Mason, you name your guy, Marco Mitchell, Terrence Austin, any of these dudes who went out there and became the talk of the preseason, it happened after the games. Like 2 days into training camp, the Merritt thing was already full bore. You got national fantasy people today all having a big Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt convention at this point. Matthew Berry is saying everybody needs to watch him tonight across the country. I've just never really seen this much hype for a guy, and I hope he delivers the goods and flashes a couple plays like we've been seeing in practice.
One thing that, like, it's been like a revelation for me over the past couple of days, GP, I think we're looking at the wrong back in terms of who Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's going to take snaps from. I think he's got the chance to take snaps from Austin Ekeler. I look at Brian Robinson to still be this bruising first and second down back. I think Bill can come in and be, the way he's looked in practice, how explosive he's looked on these jump cuts and things of that nature. Like, I think he can eat into some Austin Ekeler snaps in terms of being a pass catcher out of the backfield. He's looked good in that role as well. The big thing for me with Bill is going to be, how does he do in pass protection? But it wouldn't surprise me if by season's end, like, those are the two guys that have the most touches and carries at the running back spot.
It's possible. Look, Ekeler last year was just more effective and more efficient than Brian Robinson, and I didn't think it was that close. So that's where I lean toward. You put the guys on the field that can pop something, you know, that can make something happen. Ekeler in the open field, especially early last year before he starts to get banged up in the concussions. Yeah, he's just shifty. It was like slicing through the secondary like a knife through butter, and he just had wiggle that we haven't really seen. Robinson doesn't really have as much of that. But I just think Merritt, there's no reason he can't be out there on first and second. My only gripe with a third down role for him is I haven't seen him in pass protection, to your point. I don't know if a linebacker's coming downhill, does he make that play? If he's got a, you know, the reads there are difficult. Ask Anthony Richardson last night, just figuring out who guys are coming from, where they're coming from, who's coming, who isn't. You basically have to be a quarterback with your hands on your knees in the backfield at running back at the snap. And maybe he'll be really good at that. I know Austin Ekeler's phenomenal at it, and I'm just not letting anybody touch the field until they've mastered that chorus because number five's jersey being clean is more important than anything they're doing as a rusher. I promise you that right now. All right, let me get to number three then, or you got to go number two.
My number two guy, Johnny Newton. I feel like he's on a lot of our lists. I don't know how much we're going to see of him tonight. This defensive line room, I think I've been like gushing over him ever since I got to see him in training camp for the first time. Just think it's a really well-coached group with Daryl Tapp and Ryan Kerrigan and Sharif Floyd. All three guys that have had success in the National Football League. And I got the chance to talk to Johnny the other day. There's just a quiet confidence that he has. And when you think about what this offseason was for him, not worrying about rehab, and it's really getting stronger. I compare him, Grant, to like a fire hydrant. Like, that's how he's built. Low center of gravity, thick. My thing with him is, like, he could end up being the interior guy that has the most pass rush pop and pass rush juice. And I think tonight we should be able to see that. The other thing for him is, can you be strong and drop your butt and anchor against double teams? That's an area where Washington struggled last year. Third most yards allowed before contact in the NFL last year. So
yeah, bottom five in rushing yards per attempt and rushing yards per game. Why they got big, you know, went and got Eddie Goldman and Javon Kinlaw, because I don't think they want Newton to have to be that guy.
Right.
I think situationally, you don't exclusively use him on passing downs, but to your point, as a pass rusher, go back and watch him in Illinois, people. Like, what he did was got up the field, gobbled up the assignment in front of him, and basically just disrupted. You know, he was a pocket pusher, a pocket havoc wreaker. I'd like to see him get to that early on this season, because that was kind of the hope I had. Last year was way quieter than what I would have anticipated. Played in 16 games, started 11, only had the 2 sacks.
He came on down the stretch, though. I'll give you
that. He did.
He
played better. But 7 quarterback hits, 6 TFLs. I would have taken the over on all those numbers. Yeah. I was super high on him. But I do think we forget, this time last year, he's got like 2 feet different feet issues. He had the 1 foot issue where he was on the field, then another foot problem. He got to camp late. He started preseason late. This has not been that. You know, his whole offseason's been different.
Yeah.
I think he could make a pretty significant leap. I like that you point him out, because we've not talked a lot about him. I'm not quite as high on him as I was. I mean, going back a year ago, like, I thought
the mystiques were off a little bit for you?
Well, it's not even like I'm down on him. It's just I thought when they drafted him that he could become, this is going to sound crazy, but like, maybe an all-pro defensive tackle.
It's not crazy, GP. He was billed as like a first-round pick. Like, right. Dudes had first-round grades on him. It was the foot injury that caused him to slide. So,
agreed.
I totally agree.
But I just haven't seen anything that makes me think that that's the ceiling. But I still think, right now, this moment, like, I would bet on him to have as many sacks as Daron Payne.
Okay.
I think he could have 5.5, 6.5 sacks this year. Would not surprise me, and just be a really impactful D-tackle. All right, for me, number 3. So, I went Jalen Lane, rookie wide receiver. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, rookie running back. I'm going to go up the draft board here and stick with another rookie. I got to type, I guess. All these kids making their debuts. Assuming he plays, and I don't know why he wouldn't, as a second rounder, making his first ever start, you want to get him on the field and get him through some of the motions here in August, Trey Amos.
Yeah.
And it's not even about finding out with Trey Amos. I know this is going to sound silly. I want people to see what we've gotten to see at practice.
Yeah.
I am so high on him. He looks like an NFL player. The length, the physicality, the ability to turn and run with guys. He is just absolutely locked down. Now, again, mostly working against receivers that aren't very good at Commanders practice right now. But occasionally, I mentioned the play with Debo earlier, best throw, best catch maybe of camp. It's Amos that's right there, step for step. You can't cover a play any better. I want to see what it looks like against NFL wide receivers, running routes you haven't seen a lot of yet. New England's playbook is not a playbook you've got in your hotel room, but I'm excited about him, and I hope people get to see one or two plays where you can tell, okay, this is why everybody is so intrigued.
He's just got a confidence about him, and I guess that's what happens when you play, you know, high-level corner in the SEC. Like, he's never scared. He walks up to receivers impressed with this machismo about him that I absolutely love. The one thing that we haven't gotten to see from him that I know has got to be a big part of, you know, this defense, if you're going to play corner here for Joe Witt, how do you run fit? Are you scared to, you know, get your face mask on the football and get your face dirty? I don't think he'll be, you know, afraid, but I want to see, you know, how it looks in real game action, because we know Mike Vrabel and company are going to try to run the football right at you. But yeah, like, Trey Amos has been as advertised, man. He's honestly exceeded my expectations, and it makes me buy more what they said on draft night that he could have been their first round pick.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played in camp like a guy that would have belonged in the back end of the first round. So I've got Lane, Merritt, Amos, 3 guys from this draft class that I'm monitoring most closely tonight. You've gone with back-to-back second-year players in Tyler Owens and Johnny Newton. Let's round this thing out.
I'm going to stick with the theme of defense, and I'm going to go with someone from this year's draft class. Kane Medrano out of UCLA has an opportunity tonight and throughout the rest of camp, depending on the health of Jordan McGee, to solidify himself as this team's third linebacker. Think about what we heard leading up to the draft and then what we've heard to this point in camp about how they wanted Jordan McGee to be that guy last year, and they wanted to go with more of that traditional 4-3 set. Well, Jordan McGee, once again, is on the trainer's table and is opening up an opportunity for Kane Medrano, who, like Jalen Lane, I would say, GP, didn't really stick out the first couple of practices at camp. But as he's gotten more and more opportunity, I think you've seen him flash and make plays. He's got the ability to run, and I think he can cover, too. How does he tackle? That was the big weakness coming out of college. We'll get to see that tonight.
Yeah, I feel like when you're going through that process and there's been so many ups and quite a few downs with it, that's the mindset that you got to have. You got to have that vision of where you're going to be one day, and that's what makes going to the yard and putting your work in a little easier to do. And I just had great people around me. The staff was amazing, keeping me encouraged all the time and letting me be around the guys. And the guys have been so good to me, saying, hey, your day will come. Keep putting in the work. We're seeing you. And for it to play out the way it did last night and have a walk-off and see the team get a dub, I mean, it was truly amazing.
Your situation is unique, too, because it's very rare that somebody will get to the show, pitch the one game, right? And then it's almost like getting to the water fountain, getting pulled away right when your lips get on the water and you know you got to get back. Like, how difficult has the process been? It's almost like, I would imagine, it would have been easier if you hadn't gotten to the major leagues yet after the one outing, 4-plus innings, and then waiting to get back for 3 years.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that for me, that one game gave me a taste, and I just wanted to get back there, and that's what was in my head. So I had the feelings of being on that exact mound, and I knew when I was putting in the work that I wanted to be on that exact same mound one day, and that made it a lot easier having that taste and just going in every day, visualizing, hey, I'm going to be back there one day. Your days, it will come. And to be back on that exact mound almost 3 years later was incredible.
So was the performance. Cade Cavalli last night touching 100 in the first inning, sitting 98, touched 99 a couple of times. And then the change in the curveball were both fantastic. But as much as I've always been impressed by the velocity, I was not expecting to see 100 last night. How much of that was the excitement of being back in a big league ballpark and having a Red Bull or whatever? Or how sustainable is that to be looking up at the scoreboard and seeing triple digits?
Yeah, I didn't look up, so I didn't know how hard I was throwing. But
did it feel a little harder? Because I think you were up a couple miles per hour from your AAA average.
Yeah, I think these last four or five I've been averaging 97, getting up right around 100. So I think it was pretty on par of what we've been building on, and had a lot of great input from Rafael Chavez down in AAA. Doolittle Hick just calling me and saying, hey, we see what you're doing. Keep building on it. And we kept hammering mechanics, and it's just been creeping up. The velocity's been creeping up this last month. And just felt like we were in a great spot. And, yeah, it was cool hitting 100, but I just wanted to go out and pitch and put our club in a good spot.
When you talk about Doolittle and Hickey reaching out, are they just watching your starts video-wise with their technology here and then seeing something? And is that like a weekly meeting where at a certain time you're talking to them, or is it occasionally they may just reach out if they see something worth calling about?
Yeah, they reached out, I would say, about a month and a half ago, and we were making some little tweaks with the fastball. And
mechanically or in what like usage?
Usage as well as the slot that I was throwing out of. So we just let it cut a little bit. Instead of trying to chase like a true ride, we're just going to let it cut. Almost, it comes out almost like a football now post-surgery. So we just went to a natural arm slot, and they helped me organize my new arsenal a little bit better now that I have the sinker, and we've been using the changeup a lot more. And I feel like they helped me just understand how to use my arsenal.
That was the best I've seen your changeup last night. It was awesome. Did you feel like you had that at that level throughout the AAA season? And then also, you mentioned the new arsenal. I mean, what are the differences, whether it's pitch usage, actual repertoire, from 3 years ago when we saw you against Cincinnati? Like, what do you throw now that you didn't then?
Yeah, the main thing is the fastball slash cutter. I see sometimes it reads as a cutter. But I'm truly just throwing a fastball.
So, okay, so that's interesting. So you don't actually throw a cutter then?
No, that's my four seam, and it'll read cutter, and that's the 95 to 100. It's a fastball cut, and then
that'll play, by the way.
Hey, thank you. And then we've also been working on the slider, so that's the one that you'll see that's 90 to 93 with just a little bit of down action. But we added the sinker in, and I haven't normally thrown a sinker in the past, so it's opened up some good, I'm getting good ground ball numbers on it, and trying to get early outs with that.
Cade Cavalli back with the Nationals, lit up the radar gun, and more importantly, mowed through the A's lineup last night in what was a really fun environment here at Nats Park, a long time coming. So when you go into a game like that that you've been anticipating for so long, I'd imagine there are some jitters. Did it feel almost like a debut again? Or because you'd had that first start, were you not feeling as if, like, this is a big deal, so to speak, that you got to prove yourself, so to speak?
Yeah, it almost felt like a debut again. 3 years is a long time, over 1,000 days leading up to it. But I was really happy with where my head and my emotions were at. I felt very comfy, and I think a lot of that has to do with the organization letting me be around here in D.C., being around this ballpark, being around the guys. So it just felt very comfy, and I've been visualizing that day for a long time. I put myself on that mound hundreds of times, just meditating and hoping one day it would happen. So when I got out there, I actually felt very comfortable.
Coming off the mound, you touch 100 to get a strikeout with two punchies in the first inning, and I think it was like a 12-pitch inning where you throw 10 strikes. You can't ask for a better frame than that. What's your mindset as you get to the dugout and everybody's greeting you, and now one inning's down and you can kind of settle in and just play baseball?
Yeah, my mindset was just stay in it, keep attacking, and trying to put our team in the best spot to go win a game.
So now projecting out, you're going to get an opportunity to pitch every 5 days. Like last night was really cool. The possibility, though, to hang a bunch of those and to string some together. What are your goals the rest of the way? What do you think is realistic for you down the stretch here?
Yeah, like I said, I'm not putting any expectations on myself. I just want to go out, put in the work in the midweeks, get leading up to my start, prepare well, and go out there and compete for these guys. And that's where my head's at, and that's all I want to do.
Cade Cavalli at the Nationals on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So I saw that it seemed like maybe, I don't know if you just don't publicize it as much. Have you done away with the Cavalli cuts? Are you doing any haircuts anymore? Your barber day's over?
Yeah, I think the barber days are shut down for a second. We're going to give the arm a little break. There's a lot of wrist movement when you're fading up a guy. So, yeah, we're just...
That'll wait till after you play. For people that don't remember, I mean, that was something you'd gotten really good at. Like, not just to the level of... You're not going in and getting Kate at a haircuttery. Like, you could have been the dude going ballpark to ballpark to shape guys up in the clubhouse.
Right.
But, so we're tabling that till after the playing days.
Yes, sir. Yep. Cavs cuts is going to be shut down for a little while.
So what's your, therapy now? What do you do to kind of get away from it and scratch that artistic itch?
Yeah, I love the hunt. I love being in the woods and being in a river fly fishing. I've always loved that, and I've been able to experience that with my family. So I'm looking forward to get back to that. And I also picked up painting over rehab, so might paint on a canvas a little bit this offseason. It's always fun to do, challenge yourself in different areas that, you know, get your creative mind going a little bit.
You a good painter or just learning at it?
I'm just learning. I'm all right. Nothing special. Yeah.
Well, last night was fun, and Nats fans needed a game like it. I mean, did you feel any added pressure just because of the way things have been trending here lately? You're taking the ball after a historically rough 4 days as a pitching staff. Did that add to your anxieties at all, or was that not a factor?
No, that's not a factor. I know these guys on the staff, and I know that they go out and they compete their hardest every night, and I just want to go compete at their level. And I was glad I was able to put our club in a position to get a win.
I should tell everyone that they're warming up for the national anthem. We're not talking
right.
The national anthem right now. If you're at the ballpark all day, you'll hear a couple of those warm-ups. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was great to see you back on the mound. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate you a ton. Thank you.
Cade Cavalli of the Nationals on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Big thanks to him for giving us some time in the dugout before the day game today. That'll do it for this Thursday G&D from Nationals Park. Want to thank Wes and Darris for their work back in our Half Street studios. For Toby out here, I'm Grant saying so long. Tomorrow, we are back at it at 2 o'clock, the final show of the week, the final show without Danny until he is back from Scotland on Monday. So enjoy your evenings, and we will chat again at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
Jags, you were punching that time card last night, boy. That was earning your paycheck, my guy. 16 runs. The A's, not the Brewers. Allen Iverson style, not at practice. We're not talking about a game, not a game. This was not the Brewers who were headed to the playoffs. This was the A's. That was UGLY, and the Nats didn't have an alibi.
Yeah, how you doing, Grant? I'm good. Thanks.
Good to see you, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Well, I mean, this is it's been a rough stretch. I mean, this team has been through a couple of those this year, but in a way, this almost feels more demoralizing when they lost 11 in a row, because in that streak, it felt like they could have won maybe 7 or 8 of those games. Here, they've been down early and down and out for most of the night. So, yeah, we're going deep into our preparation story time, just trying to keep it entertaining over the course of 3+ hours with all the pitches being thrown. So that's our job. You know, that's what we signed up for. So we're going to call a big league game tonight, and we're going to try to make it fun and entertaining, and hopefully this one will be a win.
Well, you guys did that. You kept me entertained. I mean, it was a busy game. There were a lot of runs. You could have a recap of this game would have taken 6-7 minutes probably. I mean, it was ridiculous action from the A's perspective. Jags, how about Cade Cavallo tonight? 3 years in the making, we'll see him on the mound for the second time ever.
Yeah, I mean, I punched it in. It's 1,076 days since his first, and to this point, only big league start. You know, saw him walk in the clubhouse. He was greeting guys, big smile on his face. So this is a long time coming, and this is a big 6 weeks for Cade Cavalli. I mean, right now, from the way things have gone here in the second half of this season, the Nationals have need for starting pitchers. So they have to find out what they have in Cade Cavalli. He's a first-round pick. He was going to make the rotation in 2023 before he went down to Tommy John surgery. And so last year was a lost year after the year off from surgery. And, you know, did he dominate AAA? No, his ERA was over 6, but there were some good things. He averaged well over a strikeout per inning. He's been missing bats with his curveball and his changeup. His fastball has been hit hard. So let's see if he can command the fastball at this level. The A's proved last night they can hit a fastball that's in the middle of the plate. That's where Gore tried to live, and it didn't work. So we know he's got the good curveball changeup. So it's almost like a second big league debut for Cavalli. Hopefully he can stay healthy, finish the season on 2 feet, and make an impression to go into next year being a key part of this rotation.
Jags, one of the few bright spots on this team is James Wood, but not recently with the struggle that he's been in. What have you seen out of him during his struggles? And it feels like he's getting the ball a little bit better recently, but what do you see out of him?
Yeah, we're looking for anything. I mean, there was a hard ground out last night, and you're trying to grasp for that straw. It's just so many strikeouts, and what we've seen is when he doesn't go, the engine, that's not driving the train. So this offense has been kind of stuck in it, but you can't hang what's happened this homestand or the last couple of games in Houston on the offense. But yes, James Wood needs to get going again, and clearly maybe his swing was a little bit off. He was kind of jumping at the ball, not staying back and driving the ball with authority to left center field, which is the patented James Wood swing. And maybe the result flying open, cheating a little bit, the pitch selection has been not what it has always been. That's always been his calling card. We compared him favorably to Soto last year with his pitch selection breaking into the big leagues as a rookie. And now it's been oftentimes taking strikes down the middle, chasing the breaking ball off the outside. Chase rate the last couple of games has been better. So again, we're looking for anything to signal a turnaround. And there's been a game here or there, but nothing consistent. So hopefully, he's got a lefty tonight. They got a lefty tomorrow he's going to face. Hopefully he can stay in there. We know when he's going well, he hangs in there against lefties and powers the ball to left center field. That's what we're looking for tonight.
Jags, one area of this ball club that's very healthy long term is the outfield. You mentioned Woods struggles currently in the short term, but I think we've seen enough to know this guy's going to be a star, maybe a superstar player for the Nationals. They've also got Dylan Cruz coming back from injury, the former number 2 pick. We've seen Dalen Lyle at the big league level. Bright future for him, perhaps, offensively. Robert Hassel is 4-for-9 since being recalled with 3 extra base hits. He's done some good things. What have you seen from Hassel in this second go-round? I know it's a small sample, but he seems like he's been able to drive the ball a little bit.
Confident approach. I mean, he talked about he felt he was a little bit passive as the at-bats piled up his first time in the big leagues, went down to AAA, started raking again right away, and has come up and has raked right away. So he's going to be in there against the lefty tonight. He was not in there, interestingly, against the righty in last night's game, came off the bench and hit a double in the 9th inning. So this is going to be interesting. I mean, Dylan Cruz has yet to go 9 innings, so they're obviously taking their time on his rehab, considering that he missed almost 2 to 2.5 months Miguel Cairo said today in his press conference, he's looking at this as almost like a mini spring training for Cruz. So he's going to at least finish this week, if not carry the rehab assignment into next week. So at that point, you've got a decision to make. When Cruz comes back, ostensibly to play every day, well, who sits? I mean, Daylen Lyle doesn't deserve to sit. Robert Hassel's playing well. Jacob Young has struggled a bit offensively the last week, but obviously gives you premium defense. So there's going to be options and decisions to be made, and tough decisions, because it's better to have too many choices than not enough choices. And right now they're going to have a lot of choices in the outfield.
Jags, appreciate the time. Hopefully we can call a win tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a scoreless top of the first. Let's start with that.
That would be a baby step. We'll accept that, Jags. Thank you, buddy.
And we'll have fun nonetheless.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. We will be listening right here on The Fan. 6:15 pregame, 6:45 first pitch. Be good, Dave.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.